Ephesians 1, verse number 17 in the Amplified. If you just take a moment and open up in the King James maybe or whatever translation you read from, I want to read in the Amplified. I always pray to God, to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Oh, how big that word is in me. Of insight, the Amplified says, into mysteries and secrets. Now notice this term, in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. Intimate knowledge of him. I want to read also Ephesians 3:19 in the Amplified. This is Ephesians 3:19. That you may really come to know. Say no. Practically through experience for yourself, the love of Christ. I like experience. I don't want to just know something in my knower, my noodle, my head, my noggin. I want to experience, especially when it comes to God. That you may come to know practically through experience for yourself. Notice the love of Christ. You know, you can read about it in the Bible. That God loves you, and it not be a real thing to you. That it's not a reality in your knower. But God says here, he's praying, Paul says he's praying actually in the Bible, he's praying for them, they'd come to know practically through experience for themselves the love of Christ. Now notice he goes on to say, which far surpasses knowledge without experience. There's two different kinds of knowing something. You know, there's a lot of people today that get into government that they just went to a school and learned about government, but they've never done anything practically that makes them really know what they're talking about. They have a lot of theories that they think might work, but they've never put it to use, you know. But God says that this is the way he wants us to know him. That's practically through experience for ourselves. And that goes way beyond just a head knowledge, just a textbook knowledge, something you read in the Bible. So then he says, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. Whoa! The fullness of God. That you be filled through all your being through unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. That's what God wants to do, fill you and flood you. Hallelujah. And be filled through all your being with the fullness of God. Ain't no man's ever had the fullness of God yet, but I'm striving for more and more I can get. But I wanted you to see that all these verses talk about knowing God. Then Philippians 3, we're again reading in the Amplified, Philippians 3, 8 and 10. Starting in verse 8, he said, yet furthermore, I count everything as loss. Paul's talking here. I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage. Oh, I want the advantage in life. What is this he's talking about? Of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He didn't just say knowing what I believe, but knowing him. Knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. The supreme advantage, the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth. That's a lot of big words right there. Of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately. Hear that word again. That was found in Ephesians 1, wasn't it? Intimately acquainted with him. Not just knowing what I believe. We ought to know what we believe, don't we? Shouldn't we know what we believe? But not just know what we believe, but know him. Know the one we're believing. And intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. For this, for his sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may gain Christ, the Anointed One. And you can see from the context what he's talking about, gaining knowing him. He's talking about, remember, Paul was a Jew. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee and of the certain right sect. He was just everything that the Jewish religion says, that's it, man. He's it. He lost all of that because he wanted to know Christ. And he said, I count it as nothing. Well, in his day, in his culture, in his society, he was everything everybody strived and wanted to be. But he said, he said, I counted all but loss for the knowledge of him. I want to know him. He threw it all away because everybody counted him as somebody that they didn't want to be around anymore. All those Jewish old friends, you know, they didn't want to be around anymore. The word loss is the same Greek word there. Whenever they were on that ship and Paul stood forth after many days, remember, he said, you should have listened to me that there wouldn't have been all this harm and loss. So what Paul's talking about here is a voluntary, because they had to throw overboard on that ship. They had to throw overboard everything that was worth, all the cargo on that ship, so it wouldn't sink because it would weigh it down too much. They needed it to float and bob like a bobber on top of the water. And so that ship was laden down with supplies and, you know, things of value. Somebody's going to buy it when they get to the next port. And they had to throw that all overboard. And that was a loss just to save their life. And Paul's saying, listen, I was on a sinking ship. I was in a religion that wouldn't do a thing for me to take me to heaven. And he said, I just had to throw it all overboard. And I just say it's all a loss. I count it off as a loss. And it's willing that I throw it. I throw it overboard willingly. Why? Because I want something of much more value. I found something that's more valuable than anything that I had in my status, in my pedigree, in my religion, in my culture, my society. I was it, man. I was it. I was all that in a bag of chips. But he said, no. He said, it's nothing. It's nothing. I count it as dumb. Why? Why? What is so valuable that Paul would throw all that away? Knowing him. Knowing him. I didn't say get saved. You can get saved, and all that salvation is walking down to the altar. Of course, it's being born again, and you'll go to heaven. Don't misunderstand me. But it's walking down to the altar and saying hi to Jesus. Hi. He says, welcome to the family. But for a lot of people, they think that's it. That's not it. You'll go to heaven. Don't misunderstand me. Receiving Jesus, you go to heaven. But God has more for us down in here in this life than just a ticket to heaven. Somebody said they came and received eternal life. Well, yeah, but a part of it. Jesus said in John 17:3, you can write that down, this is eternal life. You want to know what eternal life is? That they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. We're talking about getting to know God. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Getting to know God. Somebody said, well, I read about him in the Bible. He reveals himself in the Bible. Well, yeah. But you see, you can read about George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and famous people in our history here in the United States and think you know some things about them, but that's all you do. You know some things about them. You don't know them. You don't know their favorite things. You don't know what their life was really like. You don't know them personally. You don't know anything about their characteristics, what they did for relaxing. You don't know their favorite food. You don't know what they really enjoyed, what they hated. You just don't know them. You know about them. But see, that's the way a lot of Christians live. They just sort of have a textbook knowledge of some facts and trivia about God. Why? Because they've read the Bible. Maybe some of them just hear it through the preacher. But God has something better for us than secondhand revelation.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Amen. In the old covenant, they knew God through other people. the priest and so forth. But you in the New Testament have eternal life, which is knowing God intimately yourself. Your spirit can become, your spirit can fellowship with God and get to know him.
Amen.
And without knowing him, you're going to have a hard time in your faith life. Can I go ahead and get into it? You can't trust somebody you don't know. Let's say I'm in a hurry to catch a plane and I got to deposit something into the bank. And I'm like, man, I don't have time to get to the bank. I got to catch this plane. It's important that I catch the plane. And I see a stranger at the airport and they're coming off the plane and they look like they're going into town. I say, hey, could you go deposit this for me and put this in the bank? A perfect stranger? No, I don't trust them because I don't know them. Can't trust somebody you don't know. And so let's look at this morning. Let's find out how much we really know God. Here, Paul said, I want to know him. If you read 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, I know whom I have believed. It's good to know what you and I believe. I know what I believe, and I know why I believe it. But there's something better than knowing what you and I believe. It's called knowing him. Hallelujah. Then verses Philippians 3:10, it says, we read verse 8, for my determined purpose, what are you determined to have? Well, I'm determined to get healed. Paul said, my determined purpose is that I may know him. Amen. How many of you are determined to receive from God, but there's something higher than that. Rather than be determined to receive healing or determined to receive that, be determined to know the healer and determined to know the provider and the peace giver and the comforter and the everything you need. Get to know God in that area.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hallelujah. And so my determined purpose, Paul said in Philippians 3:10 in the Amplified, is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately. There's another word that we've seen three times now. Intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. This is where I'm living right now. You want to know where Pastor's living? He's living in fellowship with him to get to know him. Someone said, don't you know him? Yeah, but I got to know him better. I got to know him more.
Yeah.
I like something Brother Copeland said one time about Brother Hagin. He said, Brother Hagin said something. Brother Copeland was talking. He said, Brother Hagin said something I didn't quite understand. He said, Jesus spoke to him about something. I didn't quite understand it. But he said, I've learned he and Jesus are pretty close, so be careful. Amen. That don't mean we follow a man without the word, you understand. But just some people, because you find out how much they know him, that if they said something that we didn't quite understand, there's some people in my life like that. I don't throw it out. If I don't understand it, even if I don't know right now, I'm going to take it the way it was said, I'm going to at least put it on the shelf and say, Lord, help me to understand that, because I know they know you better than I know you. I'm not saying swallow anything, just hook, line, and sinker. Rod, reel, fisher, boat, and fisherman. I'm not talking about that. No, I'm not talking about that. But I just know there's some people that know the Spirit and know God in fellowship with him, and they hear him, and their track record's there. That I'll at least put it on the shelf, even if I don't take it. How many of you know we ought to get to know God on our own and learn to know him in the scriptures. But some things sometimes that people that know him better, they have things that we don't have in God. So anyway, but I just wanted you to say you can know him in one area and not know him in another area. I know some beautiful believers and Christians that know him as Savior. And boy, they're close with him as Savior. But when it comes to some other things, they just flat don't know him in other things. They don't know him as healer. They don't know him as baptizer in the Holy Ghost. I got to know him in those areas. Hallelujah. You can know him in many different ways. You can know him in his holiness. I know some people that don't know him as holy. They live like the world. But you and I need to get him to know his holiness. Know him as faithful. Some Christians, they don't know whether they can trust him because they don't know how faithful he is. You can get to know his faithfulness. How many of you know you can trust him to hear your prayers just as quick as he'll hear my prayers or some great saint's prayers? And you can know him as the one who's faithful to respond to my call and my cry whenever I call on him based on the word. You can know him as faithful. You can know him as holy. You can know him as merciful. Some people don't know his mercy. And they're afraid of him to come whenever they sin. You can know him as gracious. Boy, is he gracious. You can know him in forgiveness. You can know him in wisdom. Boy, he's gotten me out of some of my own messes before. And the way he got me out was just brilliant. I look back and I go, don't tell anybody, but I ain't that smart. He has such wisdom, witty ideas and creative inventions. You can know his ability. You can know his ways. You can know his generosity. You can know him in honor. God is an honorable God. You can know him in generosity. You can know him as helper, rescuer, savior, healer, provider. You can know him in seed faith. That's something I've been getting to know him in seed faith. He is the one who gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. I've found him to be that. So there's a lot of ways people know him, but there's many more we need to get to know him. I know him more and more as the author and the finisher of my faith. He gets me across the finish line. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's my light. He's my strength of my life. He's my victory. He's my counsel. He's my everything. Amen. How many of you get to know him more and more, and you'll experience more of these things? Amen. Now, if you're going to get to know him, you can't seek to know him and know the world and sin at the same time. Oh, I had to go there. I've found that my fellowship with him is limited whenever I'm holding on to some appetite of the flesh. You know what I'm talking about. My fellowship, I asked the Lord recently, I said, Lord, because I've been really pressing into fellowship over the last month or month, 2 months or something like that, and really just my fellowship, making sure I'm just really strong in fellowship. And some days is just as sweet in fellowship as you can imagine. I mean, you almost float out of the room. And the other days, sometimes you just don't, just wasn't there. I mean, I turned my attention toward him. I worshiped him. I read his word. I praised him. I did all, and just wasn't the same. I asked the Lord, I said, why is that? He said, you turned your attention toward me, but your affections are on what was coming up in the day. You know, I had something I wanted to do out at the land. And don't look at me in that tone of voice. What if you're talking to somebody, they just fell in love with a girl, and you're talking to them. And they are so focused on them and getting down to work and picking her up and everything like that, that they just barely even hold a reasonable conversation with you. They're so distracted. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it hinders your fellowship. Yeah, sure does. They're not engaged with you. They're talking about somebody else and what they're getting ready to do. And you want to hear about them and talk with them. And they're all phoned somebody else.
Right. Yeah.
Well, hinders your fellowship. Same with God. Quiet in here. Well, praise the Lord. Our affections are to turn to him when we fellowship with him. Actually, our affections ought to be in him, on him all day long. Amen. The Bible says, Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve God and mammon. You remember that? In other words, you and I can't have a divided love. We love God, but we love the world. We love our own plan. We love what we want to do. We love the way we want to do things. We love our own thinking. We love our own thoughts. We love our own, you know. Yeah. Yeah. And he deals with us, and we're just No, I want to hold to mine. Don't look at me like that. That's a divided love. The love for him, in order to fellowship with him, you have to love him. And we're going to spend another service talking about loving God. Because a lot of people don't hear that. Everybody wants to talk about God loves us, God loves us. Yeah, is there any reciprocation in anybody back to him? So to really experience him and know him and fellowship with him, you have to get to the place where you express your love to him and your affection is set on him and nothing else.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Everything else pales in comparison to how much you love him and enjoy him and want to obey him and you're grateful to him for all his blessings. Am I preaching all right? We can't have a divided love. Like the Bible said, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't love God and something else. No man can serve two masters. You ever read that? You can't love God and love sin, love the world, love natural things at the same time. You can't seek or serve or love God and the world at the same time. Can't have a divided love, divided interests. You know what I mean by that? That oppose one another, by the way. The Bible said in Galatians 5:17 that the spirit lusteth against the flesh and the flesh lusteth against the spirit. They're divided in their interests. We can't hold to the desires of our flesh and experience God's presence at the same time. Those are in opposition to one another. Amen. Romans 8 says the same thing. Romans 8, if you look it up, verse number 7, it talks about the flesh and the spirit are at enmity with one another. In other words, the flesh is at enmity with God. The carnal mind is enmity with God. Somebody said, well, it's just that God doesn't agree. No, they're enemies. You and my desires of our flesh. They're enemies of God. Carnal desires. Amen. And it hinders fellowship. So to love any of those things more than God and what he's saying to us and what his dealings are in us, it's going to keep us from fellowship. Real faith doesn't really come by knowing principles. It comes by knowing God, the person behind the principles. You can pull many books off the shelf of self-help, you know, bookstores and stuff that have a lot of principles that when you and I read it, we might think of verses. But they have the principles without the person. I'm not just interested in the principles, although I am interested in the principle, but I'm interested in the person. I don't want to be somebody that says that I hear at the end, depart from me, you did these mighty works, but I never knew you. Whoa, Jesus said in Matthew, some people are going to hear that. And I believe some of these self-help people are going to be, oh, I want to, you know, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. You never came to me in the new birth. You never fellowshipped with me. You just want principles. You didn't want me. Listen, there's a lot of people that want the principles. You start talking about God. No, I don't want that. And then they wonder why God won't let them in his heaven. You proved your whole life you didn't want me. So I gave you your request. You didn't want me. You didn't want my fellowship. You didn't want to be in my presence. You didn't want to hear my word. You didn't want to hear the truth. So I give you the desire of your heart, eternity without me. That's tough. But I'm just shucking the corn this morning. There needs to be a clarion voice in America speaking the truth of God's word. And not just self-help, psychology, and all these other things. There is one gospel. There is one way. There is one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll never stop preaching it. Paul said that I might know him. I know whom I have believed. Not just what I believe. Not just principles. Not just steps. Amen. That's good. Principles and steps are good. They're there in the word, aren't they? But that's not enough. You try to go through all those without the one who spoke them, you just took the power out of them. You just took the power out of them. Amen. I know the person behind the principles. I don't want to just know the formulas. I want to know the Father. I don't want to know just principles. I want to know the person. Our faith isn't just in a book, but a living God we know. Now, you could get, I mean, some of the things I'm saying this morning, you kind of get bristled up about it. Well, my faith is in a book. Listen, this book was spoken by a person. God reveals himself in his word, Pastor. Exactly. But that's the point. God, the person, reveals himself in this word. Am I all right? They point to him. They're not an end to themselves. Someone said those words, and they reveal the person. Get to know the person. He reveals himself in his word, doesn't he? But people sometimes, if I could go ahead and shuck the corn this morning, they are letter of the law word, but they don't know God. The Pharisees did it when Jesus showed up. They were the word people of his day. But Jesus showed up, the word made flesh and dwelt among them, and they killed him as a troublemaker. Didn't know God. Thought they did because they had a head full of scriptures. But didn't know God. You can know principles and not know God. It's possible to know scriptures and not know God. You know, the devil knows scriptures. He quotes scriptures. But you and I need to get to know the person through fellowship. The word is just a means of fellowship to him. Now the word is God revealing himself. We understand that. But that's the point. It's not an end to itself. It is revealing the person. It is the written word. It reveals the living word. Jesus is the living word. Isn't that right? And so get to know the person through fellowship, because faith and fellowship are inseparable. If you're struggling in faith, fellowship can help solve that struggle. I like something a particular minister said one time. A lady came to her, "Can you help me? I've been really struggling." The doctor said, "How much longer to live?" And the lady said, "The minister said, I can't help you, but I can take you to the. I know how to go to the one who can. I know how to take you. If you'll come with me to the throne of grace, I'll get you to the one who can help you." I like that. I like that. This helper, this is a someone, not just a book, not letters on a page. Somebody said that. You know, whenever a guy writes a love letter to a lady, his new love or flame, that girl doesn't just see the letters. She's seeing his heart. This is him talking. Or vice versa. Amen. That's the way this book is. Praise the Lord. Get to know the person. Christianity is not just a set of principles we adhere to. And it's not just a relationship with God either. Well, wait a minute. It is a relationship with God. I said not just a relationship with God. It's a fellowship in the heart of a man with God that is breathed on by the Holy Spirit. Fellowship. Relationship is what people have. Like if a man and wife get married, they sign a document. It goes down to the courthouse, and in the court, they record that them as a married, related, two people related in a marriage, legally, you know, related. But that doesn't mean they have any good fellowship. Isn't that right? Same with God. When you got born again, You came into a relationship with God through Jesus' blood. You're now his. You're now one of his children. Isn't that right? You're now, you now shook hands with Jesus, you might say. Hi. Jesus said, "Welcome to the family." And then just go your way without him for the rest, not even fellowshipping with him? No. That's not God's plan. God's plan is that we get to know him. Say get to know him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God reveals us himself to us through his word, right? Yeah, but it's possible to know the book and not know the person. John 5, you can just write this down, 37 through 40. In fact, I'm going to go read it. How about we just turn to it? I think it'd be good. John 5. Praise the Lord. I want to know him. You're turning to John 5. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians 8 that Jesus, the Bible says, if any man love me, the same is known of God. God knows who loves him. God knows the ones who fellowship with him. Now that might sound strange. Doesn't he know all of us? Well, when you understand the word know in the Bible, you'll understand what he's talking about. In fact, we'll get into this in another service. But when the word know in the Bible is used for intimacy. We saw that three times in those verses we read. And it is actually used about the physical relationship between a man and a woman where a child is conceived. Remember, Adam knew his wife Eve and she conceived and so forth and so on. It's talking about intimacy. The word know is intimacy. Yeah. So when he says, they that love me, I know them. In 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 3, verse number 3 actually. He's talking about I'm intimate with those who are intimate with me. Remember, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Amen. Now, there's more we have to get into on that. And because we have to understand what God will do for those that worship him, love him, fellowship with him. And because he'll do some great and mighty things. He's got good plans. Tell your neighbor, he's got good plans for you. Notice here in John 5. Have you turned there? Turn to John 5. Verse number 37. We'll start in... We'll go down through verse number 40. The Father himself, this is John 5, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. Amen. Search the scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them. And they point to me and I showed up. I'm the word made flesh. I showed up and you're getting ready to crucify me. Another place he said, because they said, we are not born of Jews. We are not born of fornicators. Our father is God. Jesus said, well, if your father was God, you'd love me because I came from the Father. If you'd love him, you'd love me. So you're not of God. You're of your father, the devil. Yeah. Ooh, that's pretty strong. Yeah. You know, today people say, we're all God's children. No. Unless a man's born again, he's not. Why do we feel like we got to say these politically correct things just so we don't ruffle everybody's feathers? People need to know the truth. Well, we want to be kind, and you're not being kind by lying to people. Lying to people is not their help. That's not where their answer is. I'm not saying being rude. I'm not saying being mean. I'm just simply saying tell them the truth. The truth in love. The truth in love. Say that, the truth in love. But these guys, they were intellectually acquainted with the scriptures, and they felt like they knew God, these Pharisees Jesus was talking about. But he showed up in the flesh. And they killed him. Isn't that right? Yes, it's possible to be a scripture quoter, Bible toter, church goer, have bumper stickers on your car, on your mirror, you know, your briefcase, put them on your forehead for all I care. Bumper stickers saying different Bible verses. And God start moving by his spirit and people don't know what that is. Huh? And not really know him. I've seen it right here at church. Amen. I'm a word person. So don't misunderstand me. I'm a word person. Tell your neighbor, he's a word person. But if you try to apply the word without fellowshipping with God, the person of the Holy Spirit, your life, your faith, your prayers, they're going to be dry and spitless. And spiritless. Just Dry as shucked corn. It's the Holy Ghost that quickens the word, that makes it alive. Somebody said, we're faith people. Stand on the word. Okay, it's a big book. Which one? Well, what's the Holy Ghost saying to you? I don't know. What's he saying to you, Pastor? Oh, so it's going to be a hand-me-down revelation. Ecclesiastes 12:12 says, much study is the weariness of the flesh. Revelation of God and knowing God is not the product of mental study of the Word. It's the product of the Holy Ghost unction. It comes by faith. Listen, you're called to, some of you are called to preach. Preach by revelation. Preach by what the Spirit has quickened to you. Preach by what's alive and living on the inside of you. Preach what's real to you. Don't preach somebody else's revelation. You don't have a clue what they're talking about. It'll come across heady and mental, and it'll hit their heads and bounce off their heads. It'll never affect their spirits. Revelation is not the product of much study. I'm not saying we shouldn't study the Bible. I'm just saying you can get so mental and approach it so intellectually that you're studying all the Greek and all the Hebrew roots and everything like that, and you starve to death spiritually on a diet of Greek roots. That's supposed to be funny. Isn't that right? Go to John 7, verse number 14. You're in John 5 here. They said something interesting about Jesus. John 7, verses 14 through 16. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up to the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knows this man letters, having never learned? He's talking about how does he know all this about from God and the Word. In other words, he hasn't gone to our schools. That's what they're saying. They had their schools, their rabbi schools, and he didn't go to that. He didn't go to our school, and how does he know all this? Jesus said in answer, verse number 16, he said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Whoa. He knew it by revelation because of his fellowship with the Father God. He spoke out of a revelation, not dead letter of the law principles. Remember the Bible said the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. The Spirit makes the Word alive. The Spirit makes it never boring. You never get tired of going to the Word when you go to, like Smith Wigglesworth said, some read it in Greek, some read it in Hebrew, I read it in the Holy Ghost. I like that. I like that. I like reading it in the Holy Ghost. Tell me about that, Father. Tell me about that verse right there. So Jesus had revelation of God. He didn't learn it in somebody else's mental school. He had revelation. And that's much more powerful than textbook knowledge. Amen. Revelation is a heart thing. It's something you get a hold of in your heart. Remember Ephesians 3:19 says that you might know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Okay, know something that goes beyond knowing. What? Huh? How are you going to do that? Revelation. This is the kind of thing where you can't explain to people, but you just have a living reality of it on the inside. You know it because you know it. Like if it's the love of God, he loves me, he'll take care of me. This is going to turn around for my good. You just watch. Everybody else is going, how do you know that? And you go, I just know. It goes beyond, intellectually, I can't figure it out, but I just know. Just this week, some things were manifested in the flesh that we have known for about 3 years. Every now and then I'd get in my mind, I'm going, yeah! And I'd have to know, I know it down here. Because you get in your mind and sometimes your mind just doesn't know it. Where are you knowing it? You're knowing it down here. This week it showed up, boom, know it. Well, I've been knowing that for 3 years. But now everybody else finally got on board, and they know it now. I'm being vague because I don't like to talk about all my business, but just know it's a good week. Hallelujah. You can know something that passes knowledge. You can know it by revelation. It takes doing 2 Corinthians 13:14 to do this. Y'all still enjoying this? These are verses that just I'm just feeding on while I'm fellowshipping with my Father. And I'm going to read this in the Amplified. Maybe Miss Ann can let me borrow it. She usually gets it up here on the computer. This is a King James says, the grace of our Lord, this is 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Say that, communion of the Holy Ghost.
Of the Holy Ghost.
Now the Amplified is powerful. It says, the grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the presence and fellowship, the communion and sharing together and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Notice that. Communion, sharing together, fellowship. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. In order to have revelation, you must fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And that's not a head thing. Amen. It takes communion of the Holy Ghost to know some things. Spend time with Him. Say that word, time. There's a lot of things God can do if you'll give Him one thing, time. Now, it doesn't take Him time to get it done, but you must give Him the time to get through to you what He's trying to say, what He's trying to reveal. And it's time where your mind is quiet and you're not thinking about everything else in your day or what you got to do. If something comes up, just have a notepad there to just jot it down so you don't forget it. So you can dismiss it again from your mind and go back into your spirit and commune with Him. Oh, it's life. It's literally what I live on. People sometimes they say to me, you seem so energetic. You seem like you never have any tests or trials. This is not me you're looking at here. This is the result of doing what I'm preaching right here. He's the strength of my life. He's the wisdom of my life. He keeps me up when everything else is going down. He's the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. He's the peace that doesn't make any sense. He keeps me strong. They that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. It's not me. I said, it's not me. But see, here's why people don't fellowship with Him. I'll tell you why. It's a faith issue. It takes faith to fellowship with someone you can't see. Amen. The more you exercise faith, the more you're going to sense God speaking to you and get revelation. Oh, right there is a whole three-part series of preaching right there. But the point is, fellowshipping with Him is a faith thing that you and I must do. Begin to thank Him and worship Him with your mouth out of your heart, praising Him when you don't feel like He's even there. You know what I mean? Because He is there. But it takes faith. That's a whole other subject. But I'll get back to this life that it brings into you. You can be a word person and without fellowship with God be mechanically correct in all the quotes and all the confessions and everything you make. You're properly principled in your prayer. You didn't put, if it be thy will, you prayed in the name of Jesus. You did everything like all the principles you've heard and get no power flowing. You know what I'm talking about? Your faith just lacks force and substance and power because you don't just pray with your mind and with your mouth, you pray with your heart. James 5:17 talks about the continued heartfelt.
Right.
You know what that means? You mean it when you're talking.
Right.
You're not just gibberish words, you know, just speaking words into the air that you really don't mean. You're thinking about something else and you want to get to something else in your day. But it's heartfelt.
Yep.
Say it,
heartfelt.
That's how you pray.
Amen.
Amen. People try to operate on other, their revelation is not their revelation. It's hand-me-down revelation. It's just information that they gather through sitting around church services and being around church people. Other people have it, but to them, it's just something that they've logged in their mind that's true about God. But if you're going to be a person of faith, you're going to have your own revelation. You're going to have to know Him personally. Know it for yourself. Go to John chapter number 4, and I'll show you this. Another passage. We're not going to go a whole lot longer yet. But John 4, we read this in verse 39. This is a story of Jesus ministering to the woman at the well, and this is where He said, "They that worship Me must worship in spirit and truth." But later, this woman, because let's just read it. John 4, 28. Let's see here. John 4, verse 39. And they said, because remember, Jesus ministered to this woman, told her about the number of relationships she had had, and he didn't know that in the flesh. It was revelation to her, to him, and he spoke it to her. And she went into the city, and she said, come see a man that told me all about my life. Verse number 39, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So when the Samaritans were come unto Him, now they came out there to Jesus themselves, they besought Him and that He would tarry with them, and He abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of His own word. And they said unto the woman, "Now we believe not because of your sayings, for we have heard Him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Whoa! I believe because of what you said. Isn't that right? How many know that's good and fine? But you got to go beyond that eventually. Amen. I got started in my walk with God through Brother Hagin's ministry. Boy, he'd go to the scriptures, and I'm like, man, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Wow. Praise the Lord. Wow, I never saw that before. And that was not a daily thing, a moment-to-moment thing. Sitting in Bible school, I'm like, wow. 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 That's in the Bible. Wow. And it was coming real to me. It was resonating with me. He would teach the authority of the believer, and I'd go, wow. And then, like Richard Roberts said, I said it backwards. Wow. I do have authority. And wow, healing is in the covenant. And wow, I am a child of God. I'm born of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's in me, and He bears witness, and He guides me. And wow, 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 wow. I just got so much. And I believed, and he'd tell experiences, tell about visitations he had with God, and visions and things that Jesus said to him. And I believed because of Brother Hagin's knowledge of God. I saw it in the Bible. But he had all that knowledge. I didn't know all that. I believe because of his knowledge of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? His teachings, his experiences in God. He always took it back to the scriptures. And I go, wow. You know? But then I grew to the place that it wasn't just his revelation. It became mine. I didn't just believe because... come see a man, you know. I believe because I was listening to him myself. And he revealed more things beyond. Brother Hagin laid the foundation. And I'm going, now he's not around, but I'm going, wow. Look at that. Oh, yeah, I know you in that, Father. I know. I've experienced that right there. Wow. But that even started before Brother Hagin went on to heaven. And it got to the place I grew, and I knew for myself these things were true. And at that point, if Brother Hagin would have said, "You know what, everything I've taught you, forget it. It's not true. It's all I made it all up. Forget it." I'd have said, "Uh-uh. It's my revelation. I see it in the Word." Yes. The authority of the believer. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's me. I have authority. Because it became mine. Ah, hallelujah. If somebody teaches exactly opposite of what I've known from the Scriptures, I go, no, the Scriptures. I know God, and I've experienced this. I've seen cancers go away. I've seen all these things happen. I've seen the leading of the Spirit and how victory comes through the leading. I've seen faith work. It's mine. It's mine. I got it. That's the way you need to get to. If I'm not going to do it, but if next Sunday I got up and said, you know, all these things I've been preaching, I just made it all up, and I'm going to preach exactly the opposite now, some of you ought to go, nope. In fact, all of you ought to go, nope, I see it in the Word for myself. I don't believe because of what you said. I believe because of what He's saying to me. And I got my own wow going on, you know. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. It's my revelation. I heard Him for myself. I heard Him for myself. He's my provider. He's my Savior. He's my healer. He's my soon coming King. He's my comforter. He's my strength. He's the glory and the lifter of my head. Wow.
Wow.
Got it for myself. Amen. There's a time you don't ride somebody else's faith anymore. You can do that for a while, but you know what I'm talking about? You eventually get to the place it's not Jesus whom Paul preaches. You remember that scripture? Hallelujah. Let's go there. We'll wrap it up on that. How's that? Go to Acts 19. These guys, they were casting out devils in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. They had seen Paul preach Jesus and cast out devils in Jesus' name. And so they thought, oh, that's the magic formula. See, they didn't know Him. They just heard a formula. It's the magic wand. It's the rabbit's foot. It's the magic principle. You just say that in Jesus' name. So these seven sons of Sceva, verse 13, certain of the vagabond Jews, this is Acts 19, 13, certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew of the chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are you? That lets you know if you're in the devil's kingdom, you're a nobody. You are not valuable to the devil. You are not kept by him. He doesn't love you. You're a nobody. And he'll destroy you, steal from you, kill, and take you to his hell and laugh at you because you listen to him. You're a nobody. Jesus, I know. That verse is almost funny. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? Now, it isn't over. Look at verse 16. The man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them. All seven of them. One man against seven. Leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. The guy grabbed a hold of them. They ran, clothes came off. They said, forget, I don't care, man. I'm out of here. That's called scared. That's called scared. That's so funny. Hallelujah. See, what they had was the formula, the principles, without the person. Isn't that right? Yeah. Amen. How'd that work out for you? That's what we need to be saying to people who don't know him, just principles and formulas. How's that working out for you? Huh? Amen. Don't just seek teaching. You know what I mean? Seek to know him. The teaching helps you to know him, but the teaching, you can get real heady with the teaching. We've done a lot of teaching at Spirit of Faith Family Church. But don't just seek the teaching. Let that be a way to get to know Him. He's the one that is the deliverer, the Savior, the healer, the provider. He's the one. Tell your neighbor, He's the one. Jesus, whenever the devil approached Him in Luke 4, did not say, "The rabbis say." Well, we believe down at the synagogue. No, He said, "It is written." He knew for Himself. He didn't have a borrowed revelation. It was a personal revelation that He had for Himself. Isn't that right? You don't get very far just on other people's revelation. You can't use that against the devil, can you? Now, I'm closing. James 5, 17 through 18. I know I'm going long this morning. But you're egging me on, so it's your fault. No, I'm just kidding. James 5, 17 through 18 tells us about Elijah standing boldly. It's a paraphrase of the account over in 1 Kings 17. It's him saying, standing boldly before King Ahab and saying, "Unless I say so, there's not going to be rain for this period of time." And it talks about, in James 5, it talks about he did that by that, you know, that kind of faith before God. But how could a man be so bold and do something like that? And the context is us doing things like him. He was a man subject to passions as we are, it says there. How can we be bold like Elijah and see that kind of the miraculous? 1 Kings 17, 1 is the answer. He told King Ahab in 1 Kings 17, 1. Are you ready for it? 1 Kings 17, 1, he said, "Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." The most important words in that statement is, "Before whom I stand." He didn't just pull those words out of the air. Said, "I'm going to believe this." Huh? He heard from God. He was before God and heard God say that. When you've spent time fellowshipping with God and you know what He has said, it's not something they say down at the church. Pastor preaches this. We believe this at Spirit of Faith Family Church. No, it's I heard God. I heard Him for myself. That's where boldness comes from. That's where boldness, this is firm, period, end of conversation. This is the way it's going to be. And I heard God for myself. Wavering is because you don't know for sure what God's saying. He didn't just make those words up. He got that from time with God. How much time have you spent hearing what God's saying? Boy, you hear what God says, you'll come out of the, you'll say, "I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it." That's how we live. That's how we as believers live. Hearing from God, laying hold of it, and walking it out in faith. Amen. Because we've stood in a place before God of fellowship. Say fellowship. Hallelujah. And when you've fellowshipped and you've heard it clear, it rings through not only your spirit, it seems that every cell of your being hears it, every part of your being hears it, and whenever every part of your being hears it, the devil can't beat it out of you with a stick. Because you heard for yourself. Oh, hell can come again. You go, "I know, I got it. I got it. I know what God said. I got it." Amen. And this is a man with a covenant that's not as good as ours. We can come boldly through the blood of Jesus to the throne of grace and obtain everything heaven has for us and lay hold of it and come out and say, "I got my answer. I got my direction." Amen. Well, I can't get to the next part, but I'm going to start getting into some more of this in future services. One of the keys to this kind of fellowship and getting to know Him is worship. Worshiping Him. And in that time of worship, He'll give you revelation. He'll speak to you. Acts 13, as they ministered to the Lord, and the Amplified adds the word worship, the Lord, the Holy Ghost said. There's a place. Oh, Jesus, where you can go, get your mind quiet, unhook from your mind, and engage your spirit and say, Father, I love you. I worship you. And you stay there until the Holy Ghost gets stirred in your spirit and starts rising up and speaking a word to you. Somebody said, I don't have time for that. Then you got time to fail for the rest of your life.
Thank you.
I'm talking about how to really live the Christian life.